This is the Plot Blueprint Podcast, where we will be discussing all sorts of aspects of story.
Hello, story writers. Let's talk today about a plot device, which is actually also a character device. It's the use of the foil to provide kind of a parallel but different glimpse of what the protagonist is like. So this is a 10-minute plotting tip. I hope I can stay under 10 minutes. We started with 5-minute plotting tips, and I didn't stay under 5 minutes, so we'll just have to see. Anyway, let's talk about foils, and that's F-O-I-L-S, just like aluminum foil. And what a foil is doesn't have anything to do with aluminum or wrapping up your hamburger. It's actually a category of character, a character role within a story. So you know that the main character, the central character in a story, is known as sometimes the hero or heroine, or the protagonist, if you want one that's not gendered. So the protagonist, the protoagonist, the first actor, the most important character, the one who does most of the action and deciding, is known as the protagonist. The person who acts against that, the protagonist, is called the antagonist. Okay? Well, those are two major characters. They're not in every story, but the protagonist, there's usually a protagonist in every story. So if you have a protagonist in your story, a central character, here's a way to make the changes in that character and the actions and reactions and decisions of that character really kind of stand out as important and affecting the plot. It's to provide a foil. A foil in this case is a secondary character who is paired in some way with the protagonist. And they have many similarities, but also some important difference between them. So they're sort of similar characters, but there's an important difference. They're not twins. They're not identical. There's an important difference which has a plot effect. Okay, let's talk about why that's important, why you might use a foil. The use of a foil shows how the protagonist's actions and decisions change the plot and change the character, okay? By presenting an alternative so that you have the protagonist who does, you know, A and B, and then you have a very similar character who does, you know, Y and Z, and they come to different fates. They go down different paths in the end. That shows how the protagonist's actions and decisions change the plot because they're very similar, but the foil takes a different path because that character makes different decisions and takes different actions. Okay? So let's go with examples. Hamlet and Laertes. So think of Hamlet, the young college student who has come home to the court when the king is when king dies. Laertes is another young college student who comes back to the court when the king dies. Okay, so these are two young men from the same court. They seem not to like each other at all at any point. However, they are very similar and probably kind of grew up together. They're both noblemen. They both are rich and well-connected in the court. Hamlet is, after all, the king's son. And they both have been away for a while, though, at university. Two different universities, but they've been away at university. Okay, so they're very similar in those ways. As the story goes on, they get even more similar because they both love the same girl, Ophelia. Laertes is her brother and loves her as a brother, and Hamlet is falling in love with her as kind of a boyfriend situation. So then, again, as the story goes on, we discover an even more important connection between them. Polonius is murdered. So Laertes' father is murdered, like Hamlet's father was murdered. Only the twist here is that Polonius was murdered by Hamlet. So they are both the sons of murdered fathers. And as I said, the twist is Hamlet was the one who did the murder of Laertes' father. So Laertes, at that point, because Hamlet decided to kill Polonius by accident, but nonetheless did kill Polonius, Laertes veers off and becomes an avenger too. So they're both similar before their fathers are killed, and then after their fathers are killed, they both become set on vengeance, on revenge. Okay? So they're very similar up to that point, really almost up to the point of the ending. So in that, you can see how Hamlet and Laertes are so similar in so many ways. What is the one big way they're different? Well, Hamlet is very deliberative. He's slow thinking, he's slow talking, and he's very slow to make the decision to take revenge. Laertes, on the other hand, is impulsive. We see that all the way through. His father is constantly saying things to him, you know, neither borrower nor lender be, giving him sage advice to slow down and think before he acts. Laertes doesn't do that. So that's the big difference. Hamlet thinks before he acts. In fact, he thinks too much. And Laertes acts before he thinks. Okay? So that's the difference between them. So we're going to see what the difference is between someone who thinks before he acts and someone who acts before he thinks. Okay. So another pairing, I would say, is in Pride and Prejudice, is Elizabeth and Charlotte. Charlotte, you might not be thinking of very much, but she is Elizabeth's best friend who is much plainer and has no prospects. No one seems to be interested in marrying her, which, of course, you know, at that time in the 1800s was all that a girl had to look forward to. She couldn't get a job, so she would be lucky if she got married. And so Elizabeth and Charlotte are very similar. They're both intelligent. They're both spinsters in the sense that they aren't married yet, and they're like 20 or something, you know. Oh, the horror. And they are bookish. They like to read. They like to think, and they talk about literature and all this, and they both are sort of scornful of men and the institution of marriage. Okay, the next similarity between them is they are both young women that Reverend Collins proposed to. Reverend Collins is not a very attractive person. He's a rather unpleasant person, and he proposes to Elizabeth first, and she turns him down, and then he proposes to Charlotte, and she says yes. Okay, so these are two bookish women, smart women, intelligent, strong women, who are both proposed to by the same guy, and where they verge off is what's different between them is Elizabeth is kind of romantic, and Charlotte is practical. So Elizabeth turns Reverend Collins down because she's going to marry for love, and Charlotte marries Reverend Collins because she's practical and she knows that she needs a future. Okay, so what does the use of the foil teach? Okay, so if you think of the stories as a whole, what does the use of these foils teach? And the use of these foils teach something. So we go to the end of the story to see how differently these people end up. And so in Hamlet and Laertes, what happens is Laertes is actually co-opted by Claudius, the person who murdered Hamlet's father, and sort of enticed into poisoning his sword in a duel he's going to have, a revenge duel he's going to have with Hamlet. And this gives, obviously, Laertes an advantage in this duel because Hamlet's going to die of poison then. And that's what actually happens. And Laertes also is killed in the duel. And so they see both of them also end up dead. However, what's the difference? The difference is Laertes, because he's so impulsive, because he's so results-oriented, all he wanted to do was get revenge. He didn't think about it. He's easily corrupted by Claudius. And this leads to both his death and Hamlet's death. And so you see the difference between being deliberative and impulsive is when you're impulsive, you can be taken advantage of. But the real message is both these young men, bright, handsome, well-spoken young men with a great future, end up dead because they want revenge. And so the message sort of is, no matter what, revenge is self-destructive. Okay, so that we see that despite their differences and their similarities, they go off in different directions. One cheats, the other doesn't cheat. However, they both end up dead. So this is a tragedy, obviously. So you can see why the foil process, the dynamic there, leads to this kind of conclusion. Revenge is bad and self-destructive. Okay, let's look at Elizabeth and Charlotte. What's the message that comes out of this? So what happens is Elizabeth turns down Reverend Collins. This is where they diverge. And Charlotte accepts Reverend Collins. So what we see in the end then is that they both end up married. Elizabeth ends up marrying Darcy. who she loves. So she finally holds out and holds out and holds out and finally lives long enough to fall in love with Darcy and marries him. Charlotte, who's intensely pragmatic, does not marry for love. She never ends up in the story with any with a true love. But what she does have is, all the way through the story, she has a very comfortable circumstance. She has a house that she runs herself. She has a husband that she can stand, who is not a bad guy, certainly. And she is in a very much better situation than she was before she married him. She was very practical. She's not romantic. She doesn't need to love him. She even says this to her, to Elizabeth, "I don't need that. I'm happy with this." And so part of the thing that came out to me as I was reading this over was that Charlotte has nothing in her life when she starts. She has a father. We don't know about the mother. She doesn't seem to have siblings. Elizabeth seems to be her only friend. In contrast, Elizabeth has four sisters, one of whom she's very close to. She's got parents who love her, despite not being necessarily great parents. She has a home. She has all. She has several men asking her to marry her, marry them. So she has a future. Charlotte really doesn't. Charlotte has nothing to fall back on for support. So she takes this chance. Elizabeth can afford to hold off, really. So what's the overall message here? These are both strong women who make different choices. And I think the message really that Jane Austen in her time was trying to convey is that strong women make the best of it. There are different paths in life. Charlotte might not be as happy as Elizabeth, but she feels safe, and that was what was most important to her. She made the best of the of what really was probably a bad situation. So that's what that kind of teaches. Strong women make their choices, and they make the best of those choices. Okay, so let's look at your story. Should you use a foil? Let's ask some questions, because a foil isn't right in every story. It's not. It's going to get in the way of a high action story, for example. This is best in a story where your main focus is the character growth and change. Although I think it can also work in other kinds of stories, but keep in mind that you can try this, and if it doesn't work, you know, diminish that character or get rid of the foil character. Okay, so do you have a central character, a protagonist, and is the internal journey of that protagonist important? Okay, this is the main question, because above all, the foil's use in the story, the purpose in the story of the foil, is to show a contrast between the foil and the protagonist in the way the protagonist changes. Okay, so second question, is your cast big enough to allow room for a foil? You can't have just two people in the story, probably, and have them be foils of each other. That's too luxury. That's too pedantic. It's kind of too obvious. So you want to make room for a foil. So for that, you need kind of a larger cast. So you see Hamlet has a love interest. There's a villain. He's got a best friend. He's got other best friends. He's got a mother. There's plenty of people in that cast. So you can bring on another character and say this is the foil. In Pride and Prejudice, Elizabeth has four sisters. She's got parents. They're antagonists. It's a pretty well-peopled story. So having one character be her foil works, because there's plenty of characters in there. Okay, so you don't want to be too obvious. You don't want, signs pointing to this character and say, this is the foil, this is the foil, watch her. But if you have five or six or seven characters beyond the protagonist, then the foil can be another role, just like antagonist. Well, the foil could be useful to help show how the character changes. Okay, so what you want to do, if you choose to have a foil, make the character similar in plot important ways, okay? Not just, oh, these two people grew up together and they seem kind of alike because they grew up together. No, you want to have it be plot important ways. So Hamlet and Laertes are both sons of murdered men. This is really important, because this is at base, Hamlet's a murder mystery, right? So the fact that both of them are sons of murdered fathers is important to the plot. Okay, in Pride and Prejudice, sort of a central issue in Pride and Prejudice is that Elizabeth is the daughter of a man who is going to lose. When he dies, all the children, the wife and the children, are going to be disinherited, basically thrown off the estate. And Reverend Collins is the cousin who was going to inherit it. So both of them are young women who are going to lose their security and home unless they marry. Okay, so that's the plot important thing. They both have to marry. Okay, and then you want to remember that they are similar and yet there's one important difference. So make the difference important also in a plot important way. So Hamlet is deliberate and Laertes is impulsive. And this means for the plot that Hamlet spends about four acts trying to figure out whether he can actually go through with revenge. And Laertes, as soon as he realizes that Hamlet is responsible for both his father's death and his sister's suicide, impulsively decides to do whatever he needs to do to get revenge. And so the difference is important to the plot because it's Laertes' decision to impulsively go along with Claudius and get his revenge, which brings on the end of the story and the big bloodbath at the end. And finally, the question is, what do you want the protagonist and foil dynamic to mean? So Hamlet, the meaning is revenge is self-destructive. Elizabeth in the Pride and Prejudice, the meaning is strong women make the best of a bad situation. Okay, so look at your own story. What do you want this dynamic to help the reader to understand? And that's where you want to go with this, with using the foil. Use the foil to give the reader some kind of message which or meaning. And it's shown by the emphasis of this difference in similarity. So do you think a foil can help you pin down your plot progress and your character change? Do you already have a character you can enhance to make a foil? You can also create one. Just be careful. The main antagonist or villain isn't likely to be a good foil. You need someone who isn't inalterably opposed from the beginning to the protagonist. So who do you have a character who would already be similar enough that you can then enhance the difference and show them going on different paths and having different endings? Okay, don't forget, if you're in the Plot Blueprint course, you can schedule a coaching call with me at the end of each module. You might want to talk about this foil situation. If you're not in the Plot Blueprint course and want to learn more about it, here's the link. So have fun plotting this week, and let me know if you have any questions.
This is the Plot Blueprint Podcast, where we will be discussing all sorts of aspects of story.